Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. World leaders are on the move. This week, the White House announced that President Obama will soon become the first American president since Calvin Coolidge to visit Cuba.
Meanwhile, Pope Francis is in Mexico this week talking about borders and immigration policy, while presidential candidates do the same on this side of the border. Art Sear is our foreign policy contributor, based as he is along the Wisconsin-Illinois border, and he joins us this morning to add some context. Welcome back to the show, Art.
A pleasure.
So it was not that long ago that Pope Francis visited the United States, and that in itself was a big deal. But this week, he's been right next to the United States, visiting Mexico. What is the importance of that visit, maybe in the United States and more broadly on a global scale?
I think it's extremely important. This pope has been like John Paul II, in my opinion. In contrast to some others, he's been a very ecumenical pope. He's been a world leader so far, very impressively, on a wide range of issues that bear directly on politics and international relations. He met quite recently with his counterpart in the Eastern Orthodox Church. It seems to me that his moves are very shrewd in terms of influencing public opinion in positive directions and leadership opinion as well.
It's significant, right, that he would be spending time right at the U.S. border when immigration policy is playing a sizable role in the primary campaign, especially on the Republican side, but really throughout politics.
Yes, I believe that's very subtle on your part and also on his part. We have historically been quite rightly sensitive to foreign influence in Mexico, especially Germany in the 20th century, and France during our own Civil War. And the fact that there are no complaints, even from the most right-wing, primitive, if I may say, politicians who warn about immigration and historically are suspicious of the Catholic Church and Catholics. The Pope's visit, I think, is extremely effective on both sides of the border.
Does it shift the debate at all in this country, or is there really nothing that can shift the debate at this point?
You made a very subtle point. I think in very subtle ways, he can be very positively influential, just as the Polish Pope I referred to, I believe, was an extremely important figure in the end of the Cold War, the collapse of the Soviet Union eventually, certainly their East European Empire.
So it might be difficult to connect the dots specifically from this to this, but in shifting the needle or moving it along to some degree, that might be the legacy of this visit?
Quite right, yeah. And I think given the many problems of the Catholic Church in America, especially related directly to sex abuse, a terrible scandal that began over a decade ago, has played out. I think the church, in terms of who they've emphasized in this country, has handled it effectively, but it understandably got a tremendous amount of media coverage. And this is a good opportunity, I think, to help emphasize the right and positive side of organized religion generally. Brian Hare, who's now a chaired professor at Harvard University, was the point man that the American Catholic and the Vatican, I'm sure, the Catholic Church collectively put in charge of, in effect, addressing and cleaning up the terrible sex abuse scandals in the Catholic Church in this country, which began early in the 21st century in terms of public revelations, prosecutions, and settlements. He was based in the Boston area, where the first news reports revealed what had gone on. He's an extraordinarily impressive clergyman as well as intellectual. He and I were in graduate school together, and he's always personified to me the very best of the Catholic Church, speaking as a non-Catholic.
So that's the Pope's visit to Mexico. Meanwhile, the United States, the White House recently announced that President Obama will be the first U.S. president in almost 90 years to visit Cuba when he travels there next month. Normalization of relations between the two countries has been underway for a while now, but what's in it for both sides to have this visit take place? What does President Obama get out of visiting Cuba?
Well, it gets public visibility, which every politician enjoys, perhaps loves, and it's perfectly appropriate in that line of work. The chief of government and state in our system has an opportunity to personify close rapport. Historically, presidents have not visited Latin America frequently, but their visits have almost always been important. I learned on public radio driving up this morning that Calvin Coolidge was the last president to visit Cuba. He traveled on a battleship. underscoring very obviously American naval power. Franklin Roosevelt and John F. Kennedy both emphasized outreach to Latin America, the helping hand, the open hand of the good neighbor, and then the helping hand of the Alliance for Progress, symbolized the special relationship, if you will, that the U.S. has with Latin America, especially in the Caribbean.
Would you imagine that this visit to Cuba is going to have some bearing on the future of the Guantanamo Bay base, which has been slated for closure for some time?
Not immediately. I don't believe the U.S. has any concrete plans to abandon the Guantanamo base, which has been there for over a century. The prison camp that is in place there, I think, will fade. It's almost completely empty now. The problem the government has and the Obama administration has, despite the president's very public declarations from the time he first ran, is that the relatively few men that are there, other countries don't want them. And a number of them have already been cleared, in fact, for release. But it's very hard to find anyone that will take them. The U.S. Congress is absolutely adamant that not only prisoners, but those who have been released, not be relocated to the continental U.S.
Does the normalization of relations between the two countries sort of take some of the incentive for getting this done quickly off the board?
No, I believe they're two separate issues and will play out separately. I think it's all to the good. It's very much a plus that we're reestablishing formal, more normal relations with Cuba. The intensity of the Cold War echoes the special intensity of the conflict between the U.S. and Cuba, which reached a height during the Kennedy administration, I think is reflected in the fact that it's been so difficult to get this done. And I believe President Obama and associates, including Secretary of State Kerry, deserve a lot of credit for making this step, which is very much in the interest of the U.S. and the American people.
Well, why is it so important to the United States? I could imagine how opening up a Cuba might be important to Cuba, where the economy is small and really largely dependent on just a couple of trade partners at this point. But why is this important to the United States?
Well, we've been the isolated ones since the Eisenhower administration put the embargo in place and broke diplomatic relations with Cuba for very good reasons during 1959-60. The U.S. has really been the only country that's enforced this. It shows how unwise embargoes are in most, not all, circumstances. The Canadians, the British, no one really supported this. The single exception is the State of Israel, which for reasons quite unrelated to Cuba, I believe, has very strongly and very publicly supported the U.S. embargo. But that's it. So it's very much in our interests. Communism has failed essentially because communism does not work. Cuba represents a very large market potentially. Before Castro took over, the Cuban economy was the richest in Latin America and in many ways the most sophisticated. Mind you, the wealth was very much concentrated at the top. But given the large professional class, the large physical infrastructure and educational infrastructure in Cuba, there's a tremendous opportunity for economic growth there that will benefit both sides.
So the president goes there in March. Would you expect that Cuba policy will end up becoming a campaign issue in this country, or are Americans generally likely to view this as all kind of a fait accompli?
I think both are true. Some Republican candidates have already denounced it, but the fact that there's not a great deal of wider resonance shows just how much Cuba has faded, and I mean faded dramatically, just in the last couple of decades in U.S. politics. The Helms-Burton Act, which goes beyond, I think, what's justifiable in law and has never been tested in court, President Clinton signed that law, very, very punitive concerning anyone doing business in Cuba, just before the 1996 Florida primary, showing just how significant this issue was in the mind of a very, very skillful politician.
Let's shift briefly to the other side of the world and Asia, where China has apparently deployed missiles in the South China Sea, much to the dismay of some of its neighbors. What's it trying to accomplish, and who is it trying to shake up?
I think they're trying to establish extended sovereignty as aggressively as possible, short of war. They've already built artificial islands in the area. And this is sort of the next step.
And this is disputed territory.
Exactly. It's amazing. Just about every country from Northeast to Southeast Asia, including Vietnam, including South Korea, including Japan, including Indonesia, has disputes with other countries. The particularly specific and rather serious conflict between the Philippines and mainland China, I think, is particularly important. And that bears watching. That's being played out in the international legal system.
Why is this patch of water so important to China?
Well, China is expanding rapidly despite the current downturn. China is expanding rapidly in a revolutionary way, fortunately, economically. They want to establish as active and effective trade infrastructure as necessary. International trade is far more important for them, despite their domestic resources, than for a number of other countries, including especially us. Great nationalism and patriotism go along with this economic revolution. The military, like militaries in other countries, I might mention, the military has been extremely aggressive in pressing for not only more weapons, more manpower, but also a more robust role. In this context, it's important to keep in mind that China historically is a rather cautious country in terms of actually using military force overseas. We fought them directly in the Korean War, very important, as well as bloody conflict from 50 to 53. But the Chinese did not intervene until MacArthur's UN forces approached the Yellow River. We not only liberated the South, but we also were seeking to liberate the North. They had said publicly and repeatedly that UN forces literally on their border would be intolerable. MacArthur was also speaking increasingly stridently about using nuclear weapons and having a general war to solve the problem once and for all. The big reason Truman fired him. I think that also was a tremendous incentive for China. They tolerated well over 500,000 U.S. and other troops, very hostile troops, in Southeast Asia and South Vietnam for years without directly intervening. The restraint that the Johnson administration and, to a degree, the Nixon administration showed in conducting the war was spurred especially by fear of Chinese intervention, but they did not intervene. We should keep this in mind, especially in this election year when overheated rhetoric is going to become hotter and hotter.
We can always count on you to not use overheated rhetoric. Art Sear, thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Mitch. I take that as a compliment. Thank you very much.
Art Sear is a professor of political economy and world business, and he's the director of the Clausen Center for World Business at Carthage College in Kenosha. He is also our regular foreign policy contributor.
Another short break now, and then how a reporter and photographer told the inspiring story of a day in the life of 400 African-American men and boys. This is Lake Effect from WUWN.